All right. Dieter Hutch. We're here. And we're here. We've had a moment. We've thought through what happened, and turns out still bad. Still not a great,
still terrible.
Still not a great performance from the San Francisco 49ers, who are 2-3 on the season, and that
oh, and
is
two in the
not,
division.
They just hadn't planned that at all. And Jake, I'm not gonna lie. Took a lot to not say they're cooked. Took a lot. Took some real restraint to not go count them out, baby. They're done. Because today feels like one of those games that you just don't come back from. And they might, but they probably won't. I don't know. Where do you stand on it?
It's something where it's like, I think the instinct is to just say they're cooked because they had such a terribly vibed. That's in like an AI.
Bad energy. They've just all around.
Energy was terrible in the offseason, right? Like training camp was a mess. The Ayuk thing, the Trent thing.
Yeah.
And Ayuk wasn't cooking right away. Even Trent, like, had a bad first game. He's fine.
Totally. He's fine now. But they also sucked at practice. Like, I don't know how many times we talked about just how juiceless, and they were just, it was this waiting to get right thing. I think they've practiced as a full team never. That matters. So,
no
vibes, bad juice all the way through.
Yeah, and it's a thing where it's like even the star players, like Travarius Ward's been playing poorly. Like,
correct.
It's all these things that we sort of assumed would, like, they would have like great corners and doesn't quite feel right. Like Jair Brown made like a bunch of nice tackles today, but it was also still a major question mark. And like Malik Mustafa had like a great play, but also he missed a few tackles. And like, you know, you've got Jordan Elliott like on run defense that just is a recipe for disaster against James Conner. There's a lot to look into, but I think more than anything, the most obvious thing, they're just not getting it done in the red zone, which is obvious, but like that's what it is.
It's kind of important.
Kind of important, folks. Kind of important to score when you get in the place that you're supposed to score. And you, I think, mentioned to me that this Chiefs game plan, right?
Yeah.
Of like
that's
sort
what,
of going
that's what the Cardinals defensive game plan was reminiscent of, at least in my non all 20, like in person, I'm like, they're just playing a ton of man to man, especially early. They're jamming receivers. They're selling out to stop the run. And they're basically saying, hey, if you can get over the top on us, you can have 30, 40 yards, but we're going to make sure that that's pretty much all you get.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think a few things happened. They basically, you know, there were a couple times Debo ended up getting double teamed, but for the most part, they're like, Debo, go ahead, try and beat us one-on-one. And Purdy, by the way, said before this game, he's like, yeah, I think teams are going to play us man-to-man. He like said that's going to be a trend and sort of predicted it. He also predicted...
What was the rationale behind that? Just because of the lack of separation so far this season?
He didn't explain in detail why, but he said teams have been doing it more and he expects more of it. And when you're not really separating, like Ayuk wasn't at full steam before this, and Debo's not separating, and you don't have McCaffrey, and Kittle often has blocking assignments, which, by the way, that's how he scored the touchdown, because he almost always like chips or releases late. And so the Cardinals are like, all right, he's going to do that. And then
they played
he just
off.
Didn't. And they went, oh, shit, touchdown.
But it was off man. It was off man in the red zone. And the linebacker never came in and got him. And so it was well timed in that regard. But also Juwan Jennings, right? Juwan Jennings has been incredible this year. But like Juwan Jennings isn't getting these big separations, right? So they have a bunch of guys who are really good. And honestly, I don't think that anyone's just figured out that Kyle Shanahan can break up a zone as well as anybody. But it's proving quite evident that with the offensive line and the pass pro as it stands, if you press at the line on the outside, maybe Brock's processing skills almost work against him because he will come off of that read really fast. He wants to get to all five reads. And when there's not clear-cut, obvious separation, which there's never going to be unless Ayuk wins, which he did today again and again and again, then he got pretty good against zone when they switched up the zone a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, it creates situations where you got a real shot of forcing Purdy into doing either something stupid or having him scramble around for a while and maybe you get a sack on him. Like it's why he's been running around in circles so much. This is also, by the way, how you were to stop Russell Wilson back in his heyday. You played man to man.
Yep. I mean, you're completely right. Like it's something where, you know, what'll happen a lot, at least in this game, is say, so the 49ers would spread it out. They put like five people, all eligible receivers, and there'd be three on one side, and the Cardinals would say, this is the side Purdy's going to go to. Mm-hmm. And sure, Ayuk's going to come open on the other side, but he's not going to have time to get there. And he wouldn't. And they would have really interesting coverages, especially in the red zone, where like they'd have a safety who would come down and basically cut off a low crossing route for Debo, and simultaneously would cut off one for Ayuk, where he'd just stand there and they know what they're trying to get to. And the thing is, like, Purdy can play make, but he tried to do it a little too much in this game. And really, where they lost it was that one where he should have thrown it away. Because two plays earlier, you know, he scrambled and he made that great play. And then he took the sack and it was 3rd and 34. And all of a sudden, you know, you can maybe hit a chip shot field goal with Wisnowski, and now you can't. And that was something else. But like the lack of conversion in the red zone, I think the Cardinals had a great game plan for it. They don't have a lot of talented personnel, but they played it really well.
Right.
And I also think that Debo's not separating in man coverage. Jordan Mason, that's probably the number one thing. When you have Jordan Mason as a receiver, unless he's running like a simple like angle route, like he's not getting open at all.
And even then, they're probably on top of it. This is what made, I mentioned this before the game, like not having McCaffrey in the red zone, obviously huge, right? He's Christian McCaffrey. Not only could you run it, but you could also flex him out. And so now the Niners are using their motion to determine man-to-man versus zone, not to break up the connective tissue of a defense, which is what they would do when you had multiple guys that you can put in multiple spots. When you really just have one guy like that now in Debo, all he's doing is getting indicators for the offense off of what the defense is doing. Whereas if you had Debo in motion and then you could flex McCaffrey out wide, now you have the indicator and you have the counter. So as much as we want to say, oh, well, Debo isn't separate, Debo's never fucking separated. Like, it's never been his game, not once.
Yep.
So the idea that, you know, this is somehow he needs to get, like, this is what he is. And by the way, you think back to 49er seasons past, what was their issue? They couldn't score in the red zone. Why couldn't they score in the red zone? Well, they didn't have anybody like Christian McCaffrey. And then they get Christian McCaffrey, and suddenly now they always score in the red zone. So offensively, I wish it was a little bit more complicated than they don't have 23, but they don't have 23. And they've built the entire offense around 23. And I'm a little bit surprised that they didn't put Debo in the backfield more. Because you also think back to those seasons where they were, what, 3-4 in 22, 3-5 in 21.
Yeah.
What did they start doing then? I mean, again, sorry to be simplistic, but like they just started putting Debo in the backfield as a running back because now they had the answer, and you can put anyone you want in motion. You can put Jennings. You can put Ray McLeod. It didn't matter. You can put anyone you want in motion. It doesn't matter who's in motion. I mean, it does maybe to a degree, but more or less any receiver in the NFL that you put in motion is going to give you the indicators that you want. Now, the better the player, the more indicators you're going to get, because if that's a guy who is now getting bracketed or double teamed, which they do with Debo, rightfully so, even though he can't separate, you need to have bodies around him, then you're going to get a lot of movement with the defense. Whereas if you're moving around Trent Taylor, for example, like, well, that's not going to really screw up any defensive game plan, but it will probably show man versus zone. So they just don't have, an anecdote or antidote. I have anecdotes. They don't have an antidote to basic stuff. So they know what's coming, but when your offensive line doesn't protect the way that it should, and you don't have players who can beat man-to-man, there's not a lot of incentive for a defense not to just give you man-to-man every time. And yeah, you'll concede some big plays.
Yep.
But ultimately, you can't string enough of those together to have big sustainable drives. And you're really going to have a lot of problems when you can mix man and zone near the end zone. And for as much as I, Jake, was saying that they need to get teams to play more man-to-man in the red zone, and I thought they did, especially early, it didn't matter because the dudes didn't get it done there. So it was really interesting. Yep. Really interesting stuff there. I'm really interested to watch the All-22. I got to ask you, though, like, it didn't feel like the run game had any flow until late. And that's a big red flag.
Yeah, and it was something where I went back and, like, watched, and it was just – there were a lot of, like, missed blocks where Mason was taking hits early and nothing was clicking. Granted, 7 of their first 8 plays were just passes. And that's something that I think is interesting from Kyle to go that route. And then they started. But like Juice, who had a great blitz pickup, he missed like 3 blocks like pretty badly in this game.
Yeah. Mason missed a huge block on the final play from scratch.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just you look and it's like Kittle missed one. Brendan missed one. Like there are big Brendan plays. And they
bunch. Get, Banks yeah. missed a bunch. Pooney and it's gets like, his God, share.
You're leaning on guys where you don't really have backups because you got to, like, these are your players and it's 100 degrees and you're like, you got to get it. And I'm not even going to get into the weather. Both teams played in it.
No,
but we also did say there would be mistakes made. There honestly weren't as many as I expected, but it was just not clean. But, like, it's just something where the execution wasn't right. You're right. There wasn't a flow. There wasn't a like this setting up this. I will say like one of the ones where they came up short and they probably should have had it. They were chugging down the field. It's when they started to get the run game going a little bit. I think it was that 4th drive. Mason had a big one. Garendo ran a couple. And then it was, I think it was like 1st or 2nd and 5 at the goal. And they had that boot action to Kittle that should have been a touchdown, but it was just like a yard short. And then you end up on 3rd down. And instead of trying to just power it in, which I think is a pretty fair criticism, to say, all right, listen, I know that's like simplistic, but they've also done things where they just run a Debo jet sweep. Like Kyle is smart enough to like create flow and know that the red zone hasn't been great. So, like, I don't know, maybe try 2 of your more physical runners or shovel pass, like something that – and I know trying to call for specific play calls is tough.
No, but there was no ingenuity there. And I think what stood out to me most in this game – and, again, I won't really be able to know until I have the ability to back forward, kind of zoning in on some guys. But it never felt like they put Arizona's defense in conflict, which is – the entire offense. Like, this offense is very vanilla, very basic, very Kellen Moore, unless folks are out there in clear-cut conflict. So,
right.
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure why that is. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And it's like, when you're talking about Debo out of the backfield and someone in the chat was talking about throwing more screens, like, just for example, in that third, became a 3rd and 34, I think. Right?
It was 3rd and 34?
3rd and 34, 3rd and 32.
You're talking in the third quarter when they ended up with a 4th and 23.
Oh, no, 23. 23. 3rd and 23
from the 27.
Yeah, they
totally
got into
normal
a,
sentence that they
got into a 3rd and 23 because Purdy scrambled.
So it was,
Purdy
sacked -9, Purdy's short pass incomplete to Ayuk, and then 4th and 23, right. They threw it to Kittle. Incomplete.
Yeah. And it was something that was going to be short anyway. And I was like, on those two plays, like once you get to 3rd and 23, I'm shocked they didn't run the screen they run for Debo, where it's a shallow cross screen.
Yeah.
Where you just, everyone goes out and blocks and you shallow cross. Like they didn't do a lot where they just manufactured the ball to Debo. There's no like touch pass. And I know it's really easy to like, you know, be a couch
for Debo.
Right. Couch quarterback. It's really hard to call plays, but. Like, there wasn't the flow that you usually expect with this offense where it's like Kyle is setting up this, and this. It was a little disjointed. And, like, you would just go to be like, all right, why didn't something work in the red zone, right? And you'd go, and it'd be like, all right, well, there's a safety covering 2 players. The only person open was Jennings, and Purdy didn't hit him. That's also something. Purdy was bad. Purdy was not good.
Not
have
a good game.
This is probably the worst game I've seen from him this season.
That's
I again was out of town for a little bit. So
yeah, you see two, but, three. The Vikings game was bad too. This one had an inauspicious start when he skipped this first two passes, and it was just very out of character. Because we've seen him make those throws again and again all year. He plays outside the numbers. So for him to skip those throws like he was Jimmy Garoppolo was like, oh, we're in for one today. And it turned out we were. There were some plays. The other thing, too, is not only did I not feel the conflict, I never felt like there were big plays left on the board. Like, yeah, there were intermediate plays or short plays left on the board, sure. But it never felt like, oh, IU.
There was one. Down.
Which one is
there that? Was one. It's when Jennings ran an out and up kind of a sluggo. It's the one where you stop and then
do you remember what point looked, in the game?
This was I want to say the early on in the first half. No, it was probably the drive that stalled where he came up short. And he tried to get the ball to Jennings twice. And that was one of the end zone throws that he didn't get him to.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
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 Oh, yeah. Yeah. So this was after the Bosa interception. It was after the Bosa interception.
And he threw it 3 yards behind him, and Jennings still somehow caught it with one arm. Yeah. And he was out of bounds.
So Jennings was one on one and had leverage. And if Purdy let him, it's a touchdown.
That's right. That's a good ball.
And then this is the end of the first half. Sorry for folks listening. Sorry for me rambling. Was trying to find it.
No. It was not coming to mind because my main recollection of that play was how did he catch that? That was a bad throw.
Right. He caught it one-handed out of bounds. So this was like with time running down, Jennings just cleanly wins and Purdy throws it like well short, like objectively.
If he puts that 3-4 yards into the end zone, Jennings runs into it. And it's
and
no
the
problem.
Safety wasn't making it there. Like he didn't he was not closing. And then you have like a pump, Kittle catch. That was a really great play. 16 seconds left. They call a timeout. Then you get to a situation where Ayuk's wide open, but Jennings is doubled, Debo's doubled. He can't get to Ayuk, who beats Buda Baker clean, and he has to throw it away. Then the throw I'm talking about, where Jennings, it was kind of the one from like last week too, where he couldn't get it to Jennings, and he sort of loops around back corner.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like it's blind for the DB, but Jennings can make a play on it. Mm-hmm. And he just underthrew Jennings slightly. And, you know, and then the next one, Ayuk's bracketed. Debo doesn't separate. Mason doesn't separate. Jennings is in like an awkward one-on-one. And Kittle has a late release. And they have 7 seconds left to make a play. And then they end up taking that Wisnowski field goal. There's like a lot of that. And, you know, if you're Purdy, like one of those has to be a touchdown. But he also doesn't have time to work with, really, because he's getting pressured pretty quickly.
But that's not a new thing. Like that.
No, it's not.
What stands out to me is you can say, oh, well, the offensive line has sucked. Like, what's new? We've literally said that after every game. So let's get pragmatic and scheme around that here. And by the way, you might say you're not able to scheme around it. Then what the fuck are we doing with quote unquote offensive genius? Like, I'm sorry. Like, right. If it's not something that can be managed, I'm not saying it needs to, you know, make your offense look like peak Peyton Manning, Adam Gase, Broncos here.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, you know, Purdy should be throwing 55 touchdowns a year or whatever, Randy Moss and the Patriots. Like, what I'm saying is, if you can't figure out ways to get the ball into your playmaker's hands fast, something that you, by the way, did for 5 straight years before Brock Purdy showed up, if you can't get back to that, then what are we doing? This team went to a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo as its quarterback. This team won a lot of games.
And should have won it.
Correct. Like, the scheme is there. Like, the scheme can make this work. And while I don't think that Kyle had a bad play-calling game, it certainly wasn't an inspired one. And it was nowhere near as good as last week against the Patriots.
Like, for all the talk we had about Debo looks great in camp, he had 3 targets today, 1 catch for 11 yards, and rushed 3 times. This is a Debo game if there was one. Like,
totally.
Feed him.
I was certain he was going to score.
Underneath.
Yeah.
And he had, like, I think one, maybe 2 tunnel screen attempts. I think one. Literally one.
Yeah, Ayuk missed a block on one that had blown up.
Yep.
And then there was one other one. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of those Debo trying to get to the edge can't get to the edge. One, because of the offensive line or, you know, exterior blocking. And two, because he just doesn't have the same burst he used to. Because why would you expect it? He might have changed his number, but he isn't any lighter. And this team just, let's just call it like it is. This team looks old and slow in a lot of spots. And then there's the roster attrition that's natural when you have highly paid players and you don't draft well, because they have not. And then you have a quarterback who has been very, very good this season, but he had a bad game, full stop. And you're in a position where your roster is such to where your quarterback has to elevate his game on a weekly basis in order for you to win, because while they have big names, they're not that player anymore. And most teams pivot off of those guys before it gets to this point. The 49ers decided not to. They doubled down, and I think they're reaping the benefits of that.
Yeah, and they're already in a situation where it's like, man, they need a bye, but like they got to be even like you got to have like a winning record at the bye to feel good about it. And I'll just go to the point, straight to the point that I made to you after the game.
Yeah.
This team needs Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah. It's like it's something that legitimately feels like it could fix is a strong term, but he's a man to man beater, or at least theoretically. He certainly was in college.
You look at this team, and obviously you're like, yeah, if McCaffrey comes back, we don't know if McCaffrey's coming back.
Presume he isn't.
I mean, maybe he will, and sure, great, but like, to predict anything with his situation, you can't. And so when I look at it and I think, what could this team fix? You know, it was like, do you trade Debo for Devontae Adams? That's just like, I don't think they're going to make any move like that.
That would be very fun.
It would be fun. I don't know if the Raiders... Listen, I'm just saying, in terms of where this offense is at and what they're prioritizing and how teams are covering them with a lot of man-to-man coverage, and Debo's not beating man-to-man. And listen, I will be the first to tell you how much I love watching Debo Samuel as a football player. 2021 was one of the greatest seasons I've seen, but he really doesn't separate from man, and that's just known.
Yes.
And so you have a situation where it's like, okay, you went from the best man-to-man beating running back in the league to one that's not a route runner at all. He's a running back.
Classic.
And then you go to Debo, who's not separating from man coverage. Juwan Jennings, he doesn't really separate it. He separates on third downs on out routes or choice routes.
When you get him in the slot and you have off man, he can give run his routes crisp enough. But that's the other thing too, right? You think about the inherent nature of this scheme with 11 personnel. And while they didn't have a lot of 11 personnel today, that's still the baseline operating scheme, especially when you have it makes it a real challenge when you have a running back that you can't flex out. But you have tight splits typically, and beyond that, you rarely have a true slot receiver. And you think about what, you know, they do with Amon-Ra St. Brown. You think about what they do with a lot of good receivers in this league. They move them into the slot. Move your best guy into the slot so that you can get off man if it's man. And the zone, it's pretty much the same thing either way. And you get the CeeDee Lamb situation where you can just funnel him the football. You get, you know, what Restrepo did for the University of Miami last night against Cal. Hey, it's a big down. Let's make sure that our best guy doesn't have someone in his grill at the line of scrimmage to knock him off his route. And the Niners just don't do that. And they definitely don't do it with Debo Samuel. And I'm not saying that that's something that they need to immediately start doing. But when you don't have that in your bag on principle because of so many other things, you better be doing those other things right. And they're not doing it right. So either you start doing those things right, which I'm not sure they can, given the track record so far, or they start doing a little bit more Bobby Slowick. They start doing a little bit more Sean McVay, go to 11 personnel, and then at least you have, you know, and you don't have Jennings in the slot as opposed to a Debo Samuel. You can put Ayuk in there every now and again, but instead they're so rigid with X, Y, Z, and who plays those spots.
And the amount of responsibility Kittle gets, where there's like, Kittle should be like, it's tough because the way they need him to play and the amount he needs to help out with the offensive line.
Yeah.
Like Travis Kelce is so much freedom to kind of float around.
He's a wide receiver. Right.
But that's what I mean. Like if you get a situation where like
Trey McBride didn't throw a block all day. You know?
I know. And I'm just saying like Kittle, I think is like he can beat man, no question. But because of his responsibilities, he gets put in situations where like you're probably your second best wide receiver behind Ayuk is Kittle, and you can't really let him. He's either like late releasing or he's, you know, just over the middle, just out of the nature of it.
Yeah.
George
Kittle never has a situation where the man who's covering him in coverage is right up in his grill immediately. As we talked about earlier with the pop pass, you're going to play off because of the nature, and that creates conflict, and you can take advantage of the timing. It was just way off today, and it's not surprising. It's a Jonathan Gannon defense. It was going to be well coached, and they just said, hey, here's the deal. We don't have the talent 1v1, but we do know what these guys don't like, and we're going to do that to them again and again and again. And if we lose by 40, we lose by 40. But this is the only way we can win, and they won. Now, by the way, there's a lot of other shit that happened, right?
Yep.
It wasn't just the offense, but they scored one touchdown from scrimmage this entire game, and they went scoreless in the second half.
Yeah, going scoreless in the second half is that's it, right? Like the Cardinals kick a field goal, and then the 49ers go down, and they're driving, and they're looking great, and they're running the ball. And then, you know, you have that situation where Juwan false starts and then Purdy scrambles too much and he gets sacked. And then you end up in 4th and 23 because you don't have a kicker and you just end up with nothing. And then Connor starts cooking. Jordan Elliott gets beat badly. And then there's a screen and then they start moving the ball. There's a 3rd and 7 coverage bust by the defense. Mm-hmm. Wilson starts beating everyone because they're playing like people are criticizing Sorensen. And I think that's something that when the defense plays poorly, they just go, oh, Sorensen had a bad game. In that part of the game, I get it because they were playing really soft, but also Charvarius Ward was probably playing softer than he was being asked to. Like they were just giving Michael Wilson like a free 7 yards every time, and he was taking it.
A very indicative play of Michael Wilson. It was one of his many chunk yardage plays. This is 4th quarter, and Lenore and Ward are on the outside. They have a stack to the right. And both Lenore and Ward just go with the X receiver.
Yeah.
They just keep going down the field. And so Michael Wilson, who's the better receiver, I'm just going to slide over here and get 25 yards. Like it was.
That was that 3rd and 7 bust I was talking about.
Is that Sorensen? Is that Ward? Is that Lenore? Like I can't tell you. Clearly it's bad coordination by somebody. Perhaps all three. We can call this out. You said it earlier. Charvarius Ward has been butthole all year. He's been bad. And you could tell that Arizona, again, well-coached team, went right at the problem. Shit, let's just go back to the first drive of the game for Arizona. 59. They saw it on tape, and they said, let's do that. And there's 20 yards, and then here's a 50-yard scamper. Done.
They've got a problem at linebacker because Warner was not himself in this game. Like, I think
he looked slow in the second half. Who would have thunk it after that?
And there was one part where Kyler just gave him a shimmy, and Kyler can do that to everyone, but like Warner doesn't usually get juked like that. It was put it all out there, and just he didn't. I'm not saying Warner even had like a bad game, but he's been playing defensive player of the year level, and he was not at that.
No, he was
the help behind him, like Campbell just doesn't, he's not moving right. And you know, there was criticism of like pressure not getting home. Kyler's also getting the ball out quick today. I'll say that. I'm not saying they were getting pressure home a ton, but
and by the way,
it's also tough on the defense to, you know,
I thought that they actually had a decent enough game with pressure, and it all boils down to the 4th and 5 where they actually do get home because they bring the house. And Floyd is getting up in his grill, and Kyler takes how many steps back? It's the same thing as Mahomes. It's the same. I'm just going to keep dropping back so that you can't tackle me yet. And then I have the arm strength to put it out one-on-one to a better receiver. And Ike Adams, so afraid of the double move just crosses himself up as opposed to anything Marvin Harrison Jr. did. And there's a catch, the drive continues, and now the game is over. Like,
yeah. And what's wild is, you know, this was just bad luck as much as anything. The one great play, I mean, Campbell made a few plays. I'm not saying like he was just horrific all game.
He had a fine game after the world's worst first drive.
But his probably best play, if you go through it, was the swat at the line of scrimmage that was that third and five right before that play. If you watch it, if Campbell does not swat that ball, Fred Warner has a game-ending pick six.
That's right.
It's not something. It's how, not a how's criticism
he supposed
of,
to know that? Yeah,
it's, but it's not a criticism of Campbell. It's just something that it's like this team is going to lose this game, and that's something where you literally watch it, and Warner standing there looking at his hands like, "Oh God, we're shit," you know.
I want to get in on the Yadam thing real fast. Like, Yadam needs to be dropped in the depth chart. Yadam is bad too. Yadam, not long before this, had one of the best plays of the game, a perfect pass breakup along the sidelines.
Against Harrison, like, read it perfectly.
Yadam's issue is that when you get him over the middle of the field, when you move him in space, he does not have the athleticism or the mobility to stay with you. But if you can get him to pin somebody onto the sideline, that's great. Yadam is a great cover three corner. They're not calling any cover three anymore because they don't have the safeties and they don't trust the pass rush to get home. So they can't call cover three. They have to call more man stuff. They have to call more quarter stuff where Yadam is now, you know, playing hook. And it's a mess. They built this team to be a juggernaut. They're not a juggernaut. And now they're having to get, you know, do they get pragmatic or do they just hope that these guys, you know, speed the fuck up and get it on defensively? They built this team to play a lot of cover three. Then they figured out, oh, we didn't get a free safety. Like, Jair Brown can play free safety. Then they tried that for a game and they're like, we were wrong about that. And there was nobody on the depth chart to replace him. And you put, you know, Mustafa back there. Now you have a rookie who should have been a strong safety. And now he's your free safety. Oh, we're going to rotate him in and out. So now no one has a feel for the position. And safeties, this is when I say it, our destiny. Who had the better safeties today? The Cardinals.
That was one what won them the game. Like Thompson had a great game.
Who had the better quarterback? Cardinals.
Yep.
Okay. Does it have to be more complicated than that? Sometimes no.
No.
It was a very, very bad game. I'm not sure if I agree here with Damian saying that Mustafa will be a decent free safety. Mustafa's safety. I want him playing the off role.
This is something we've talked about. I think he can play free. I don't know if that's something. I think that's something that's going to take like a year because he didn't get a lot of reps of it at Wake Forest, and they do view him, I think, rightly as a guy who should like be playing down in the box. But like, I think Jair's a little bit more comfortable there, making plays. I think Jair's most comfortable when he can get down, he can see it in front of him and get downhill.
So what you're saying is they should be playing more too high so that these guys can read the play that's in front of them and then make a determination in that regard. But they're not doing that either because they still want to bring in, because now they don't trust their linebackers. Right. So they're bringing in safeties to help with that. And it's like, this is where the O-ring theory really comes into play here, Jake. When you have one bad spot, now the entire defense has to compensate for that bad spot. So whether it's 59 or 92 or 56 or 22, or if it's the safeties themselves, when you have a weakness, smart teams, especially smart teams that are geared up knowing that if everything just goes hunky-dory for the 49ers, they're going to steamroll you. So teams that are having to find minute things or what might seem like minute things to exploit in order to win and are comfortable with pressing that button again and again and again, because there's not a lot of buttons to press. There's some real issues. There's some real issues there.
Yeah. It's something where, I think to be specific to Mustafa, like he made one really great play today and he has like other moments. And then he has moments where he's just like taking either the wrong angle, or he's a rookie. He's a rookie safety. And they ask him to go to trigger and they say like, be fearless, go after it. And he does. And it's just the timing's just not quite there. And it's hard. It's really hard with rookie safeties. There's a lot of timing. And if you mess up, it's a 70-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, there's a lot on your shoulders. And to ask that of him is tough when he's not a guy who played, you know, in the SEC. He doesn't have, a ton of reps. Like, he was playing a different role.
Kicking North Carolina State's ass every year didn't get him prepared for the Arizona Cardinals?
Yeah. I
You're telling me that ACC football isn't elite? Because I was watching it last night, and it felt pretty elite to me. It
does feel pretty elite. Feel pretty elite right now.
Let me just throw this your way, Jake. Like, let's give the 49ers the benefit of the doubt and say, hey, you know, defense, just a slow start. But they got the talent. They'll figure it out. I'm not sure if I believe this or not. I'm just playing lawyer here.
Yeah.
You know, they got the talent. They were great last year. You know, Devondre Campbell's a former Pro Bowler. Like, he's in a new scheme. It's going to take a minute. They've had some troubles with the defensive line, but like, they got the body still. Like, everything's going to be they'll figure it out on the defensive line. Well, again, just benefit it. Okay. They'll get there. Yeah. And then you go on the offense and you go, well, they don't even practice together and no McCaffrey, and it will click. At some point, it will click. Kyle will get pragmatic. He'll figure it. It'll click. Seattle, Kansas City, Dallas, Tampa Bay, Seattle, Green Bay, Buffalo, Chicago, Rams, Dolphins, Lions, Cardinals. That's your schedule from here on out. One,
what are you trying to say?
Three, four, five, six. Seven playoff teams minimum.
You're rest disadvantaged in almost all those games, by the way.
You had the largest rest disadvantage in the league coming in, and now it's going to kick in a serious way. 21 games of rest disadvantage coming into the season. I still think you have about 15 of those left. No, shit, 18.
Yeah. I think it's a situation where, again, I said it, they actually really need Ricky Pearsall, and that's a scary thing to have to really need at this point in the year, and you're not going to have him back for, I think they thought, all right, we'll at least split with Seattle and Arizona. They're like, we'll beat Arizona, probably. Let's give Ricky as much time as possible.
Yeah.
They say his shoulder's all right. I am a little bit dubious that it's completely all right. I think that's probably a rose tinted assessment. Maybe it is, and I'm completely off base on that.
I'm not sure they have much of an opportunity to. I think they'll probably not play him against Seattle because they have one practice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's. I think that's why they didn't activate him. They said, "All right, well, if we're going to activate him, let's give him a 10-day ramp up before the Chiefs, and then the Cowboys, and then there's a bye week, and we can get an actual practice in." And then you face the Bucks on the road, and then Seattle, and then
at Week 10. I mean, that's the thing. This team's season is the next three games. I'm the one who my gut tells me to write them off, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt because there's too much talent, and the quarterback and the middle linebacker are too damn good that writing them off at 2-3 is premature. Now, we should be lowering the standard of what a good season is, because Super Bowl or bust is already busted out. It would be a surprise if this team made the Super Bowl. So how can that be Super Bowl or bust?
Especially given that we looked at the schedule and then we're like, they need to be at minimum 4-2, and that's already gone.
Yeah. So Seattle on a Thursday night. Now, Seattle has plenty of qualities that are positive and plenty of qualities that are negative. I'm not sure if anything that we have seen thus far will translate onto a Thursday night game. Again, one practice, and it's a walkthrough. So they just play football again almost instantaneously.
Thursday night's a toss-up. I think that line should be even.
I'm fascinated to see what the line is. If you could look that up for me, that'd be great. Then you get Kansas City, which for some reason my gut says they win just as a big fuck you to any sort of logic in this season. But they beat Kansas City. Then what? Then Dallas comes to town and everyone goes, Dallas sucks. They always beat Dallas. Until they don't. I'm not arguing that Dallas is good. What I am saying is that, are we sure the 49ers are good? What evidence is there that the 49ers are good? They've beaten the Patriots and the Jets. I'm pretty sure the Jets aren't good. I know the Patriots aren't good.
What would you guess the 49ers and Seahawks line is?
Niners 3.5.
Pretty much. Niners by 3 to 3.5 to 4.
Okay. Yeah. That's 6.5, 7 points on a neutral field.
Yeah.
So I disagree with that. By the way, the Niners have been big favorites against the Rams, lost. Against the Cardinals, lost. They've been touchdown favorites in both of those games, and they've lost them outright.
They should. This game should be even. Yeah, we have seen this. Yeah.
We have seen this, but this is the difference. 21, it was not Super Bowl or bust. 22, it was not Super Bowl or bust. Now, 22 more so than 21. But 21, they're 3-5. And then they just said, we're going to ride Deebo Samuel as far as we can take him. And that was apparently the NFC Championship game. And that was one hell of a season. Right. And they're one Jaworski Tartt drop away, in theory. 22 was actually kind of a weird year. I don't have that great of a recollection of what happened in 22.
Yeah, because it was...
They were 3-4 at one point in 22, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and then they started rolling. I don't remember 22 very clearly either. That was after... Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was... Because that was the weird year where Jimmy stuck around in training camp. Mm-hmm. And they...
No, that would have been... Yeah. That would have been the end. So that was Brock. That was the end of Brock.
Or
beginning of Brock.
Yeah.
That's Brock in Miami.
Yeah, and the NFC Championship game elbowed
disintegrated. And then they never lost. Yeah. But like...
Right.
So what was that? That was magic. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like... That was an incredible year where they finally got a competent quarterback all of a sudden, and they just didn't stop winning until his arm exploded. So, and who knows what happens in that NFC Championship game. I know that it's easy for Niners fans and anyone to tell themselves, oh, they would have won. Who knows? That was a really good Eagles.
Eagles team. Roster was insane that year.
They got, and they had, guess who? Gannon as their defensive coordinator. And Shane Steichen is their offensive coordinator, and Kelsey was still at center, and they still had defense that wasn't just a bunch of young guys from Georgia who are out here, you know, vehicular manslaughtering people. So
they just hid the fact that Nick Sirianni was their head coach and didn't really have a plan.
I mean, he's effectively Big Dom.
I think
he has no role other than that.
The reason we were pretty hesitant about this team going into the year and we're sort of ringing alarm bells is. Like the most comparable season is 2019 or 2020.
2020. The 2020 vibes are out of control. Their kicker because just exploded his ankle.
That was really hard to watch. I saw the replay and I didn't realize how bad it was from the press box. He twisted that thing like crazy.
He's not kicking again anytime soon.
It's Shanahan was like, he's out for weeks. And when Shanahan says that, it might mean months. It's something where this team put it all on last year, they got older. And they're asking all of their veterans to really step up. And they're also asking some veterans that are unfamiliar with them and haven't been around and some rookies who are new, who are like, let's do this. And it's just not quite right. But we have seen time and time again, this is a team that like can click. And the offensive line is almost always a second half of the season offensive line where when the run game starts going, they get confidence, and we were always talking about Mike McGlinchey at the start of the year, and then it would calm down in the second half of the season. That's something that just happens.
That's good coaching. And they simplified stuff. They got rid of a lot of nuance, and they would run Elijah Mitchell 25 times up the middle until he died.
Right. But to be in that conversation, to get there, you have to get there.
By the way, a lot of those teams weren't operating on first place schedules, right? Okay, yeah. 2020, what happens? You got this first place schedule. Okay, now you're 6-10. So 21's a lot easier. And yet, you know, you were good in 21, so your schedule is still pretty tough in 22. But you found the quarterback and you rode the magic. But you were pretty middling up until you got the quarterback. And by the way, that no one had tape on the quarterback or knew what he could do, and he was incredible from the jump. Now you're going back and you got that first, you know, did they win? They win that division in 22? I don't know. They take,
No.
Did the Rams?
Maybe.
They were on the road. Doesn't matter.
Maybe they won it. Listen.
Regardless, they not only have a first place schedule, of which they really haven't gotten into the teeth of yet. In fact, they haven't played a first place team yet.
That's what I was going to ask you. They have maybe one easy game remaining, and that's if the Dolphins don't have Tua.
Yes. Yeah, because let's also add in, okay, week 18, Kyler, clearly not as easy as you think. Though by that point, Kyler will have been hit, and that always changes. I've never seen an NFL quarterback be so hit adverse, right? Like, remember how we used to kind of joke about Jimmy and other quarterbacks, like, oh, I need to get hit to feel it. Brock does that sometimes. Like, I need to get hit to feel it. Kyler Murray is actively avoiding contact at all costs, to the point where he'll do some like really ridiculous shit. I never felt like the Niners exploited that. It feels like something you'd want to exploit. But like, I don't think Buffalo's that good of a team. I don't know how this team beats Josh Allen. I don't think Green Bay is that good
in
of a
Buffalo,
team.
In Buffalo. In Buffalo. A late game in Buffalo where
1st of December. You know? So Kansas City doubt, like, can the Niners win all of these games? Dante Whitner, all I see are winnable games. Like, sure, they have the talent to do it. But they haven't put anything together in any phase of the game consistently at all. What can you take to the bank with the San Francisco 49ers right now? 5 games into the season. Nothing. Not a thing.
Not much.
You can't even take Fred Warner to the bank anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. It's true. Yeah. I think there's a lot like that. We can go back and go through every single point we made so far. Where I'm at is this team needs the ability to beat man coverage because teams are going to keep throwing it at them. They're going to keep shading towards Ayuk, and they're going to dare Debo and Jordan Mason to beat them, and they probably won't. And the 49ers need to adapt, and they probably need to get Ricky Pearsall back into the offense. And I know saying that is kind of wild, but he is a guy who, even if he can't beat man coverage, he can stress man coverage. Like, I'm not saying he's going to beat man coverage every time. No one really does that every single time. But, like, he's a guy who's athletic, who we saw in camp, is really, really, really quick, can snap off at routes,
he's
gives
a space
corners
man.
Trouble, and he changes how defenses have to account for your eligibles. And I think that's something that can fundamentally shift them.
I agree. Let's go off of Damian's point here. They've been in every game in the fourth quarter. That's factual. Then what happened? I mean, ultimately, when you get down to brass tacks with this team, they crumble. They've crumbled now twice in dramatic fashion, and they didn't put up that good of a fight against Minnesota when they were given opportunities to do so. Credit to the other teams. They brought it. You think people are going to just stop bringing it when they play the 49ers? Like, you don't get credit for winning quarters. You get credit for winning games. And I can give credit to, hey, you know, they're playing okay. And if you take it on the macro, it's the Bill Parcells line. You are what your record says you are. You didn't get it done all the way down. So it doesn't matter if the Rams loss is worse or if this loss is worse. The fact of the matter is, this team has played cowardly football this season. I'm calling that full stop. They have kicked so many short field goals. They have shown no aggression whatsoever on the offensive side. They have been simplistic. They have been front running to kick a 28-yarder, a 20-yarder. They kicked a 20-yard field goal today, Jake. And then Wisnowski had a 26. If you grow a pair, you can change the course of the game. But they are so confident in their ability. It's really annoying.
To not go for it on 3rd and 1 at the goal line, I'm sorry, but like, you just, there is also something to mentally of just saying, we're going to run a fullback dive. I don't care if it works or not. Like, and I'm not saying that's like going to work. Maybe it gets stopped, but like, try twice and see what you could do. You're Kyle Shanahan with the first quarterback you've ever really truly believed in with the 49ers. Go for it twice when you're at the 1 yard line. And I know space is condensed, and the closer you get, the harder it is. But like, I don't know.
You don't have any short yardage plays, even though you only run short yardage runs.
And I think they're still scarred from when Brock got his concussion on QB sneaks.
Fair enough. I disagree with Muggs here saying the Chiefs started like this last year. The Chiefs were not spectacular. They started the year 6-1 last year. You know, they were 7-2 going into their bye. A little bit different. The Niners already have
Yeah.
Three losses. They're five games in against the easiest five-game stretch of their schedule, which will now become six. But then it stops. And again, I will go back to this point. Their season is defined in the next three games. There's a million things that can happen. But if they don't go into their bye with two more wins than they have currently, they can't get into the bye at a 500 record. What are we doing here? What we're doing here is you're fighting tooth and nail against a hellacious end of the season schedule, which can change instantaneously. You don't know. You know, one injury can completely ruin a team, as we've seen with the Dolphins. Not that they were any good to begin with, but at least they were feisty. Like,
yeah, then you have to go, what, 7-2 down the stretch?
You have to get 10 wins. You have to have 10 wins. This team has two after five games. It'd be one thing if we were talking about, hey, kind of a weird year. Let's see what happens. Expectations versus reality. This is about as bad as it could be. And the expectations were as high as they could be.
Yeah.
I don't think Thursday night might
define the season.
Right. Like, if they, you know, it's a good point here by Woodpit. Like, if they win Thursday, they're atop the division. The division sucks right now. Like, so what? They're on top of the division on the 10th of October. Like, that doesn't matter. Their record's what matters. And let's remind everybody, the only time they've ever made the Super Bowl is when they've had two games at home in the lead up. And last year, they needed every ounce of that home field advantage. This team has never won three consecutive games in the playoffs. They've won two. But they've never gotten that third one. And so you are looking right now, unquestionably, at having to play at least three playoff games if you make it.
Yeah.
And probably all three of them on the road, unless this division stays ass all the way through, in which case then you got gifted one as the lowest division winner seeding. Again, other teams, this would be great. When you build it up the way the Niners built it up, they didn't push back on any of the hype at all.
Right.
Nor should they have, given their talent level. Yeah. And now they're coming out here and they have looked mediocre at best. I don't care if you're winning in the fourth quarter. Lesser teams have easily flipped the script on these guys in the fourth quarter twice now.
And one thing I will mention going forward, just thinking big picture, you go back to 2019 and things weren't starting right. Traded for Emmanuel Sanders.
That's right.
You go back to 2020. Was it 22 they traded for McCaffrey? It was 22, right?
Yes, it was just before the Brock thing.
And when things weren't going, and then they traded for McCaffrey, and they lost to the Chiefs, but then they started cruising. They started absolutely cooking.
Well, it became very easy to score in the red zone.
And they have cap space, and they could do that. But, like, this is a roster kind of at full tilt. I think you can make moves on defense, but, like, adding an offensive weapon, it's, like, in-house. Like, they'd have to hope McCaffrey comes back or Pearsall goes. Like,
You're spot on with Pearsall. This team needs a third down running back like nobody's business. They have Mason, who is a first and second down kind of back, between the tackles, outside zone kind of back. You then have Garendo, who I'm not sure what it is he's good at yet.
He doesn't know how to be a running back yet, and I thought that was the case when they drafted him, and I thought he needed all of camp.
Football. Do something. Do something with him. Because right now they're like, what if you were just Jordan Mason again? This team needs a threat out of the backfield, even if it's on a designated passing play.
Yeah.
There's no one else. Like, you can't give it to Taylor. Taylor's a between the tackles runner. Keyshawn Vaughn's a between the tackles runner. There's no scat back. There's no Jet McKinnon. There's no go down the line of all the very good. You know, there's no Tyrone Tracy Jr. on this team. Cody Schrader, you know, as Woodpit brings up, like, he wouldn't fit that bill either. They don't have like a pass catching back. They don't have
like
a Rashad
Antonio White. Gibson. That's kind of what you Gibson. Need. Like a veteran pass catching back who's big enough to pick up blitzes on third down, but can like actually run a route and do something.
I mean, people are saying they need to trade for a free safety and a defensive tackle. I mean, that's like teams going into the baseball playoffs being like, what we need is a back of the bullpen guy and a middle of the rotation pitcher. Like, get in fucking like, line.
Everyone's looking for like this lefty reliever that doesn't exist, you know?
So, I mean, I agree that Darnell Savage would be a good pickup from Jacksonville. They just got him and they won today. Like, I don't think they're trading him. Like, there's not a lot of guys who are just available right now. Who is right. The beauty of the situation? I'll say this for the Niners. The beauty of the situation is the two best teams in the conference right now are the Vikings and the Commanders. That doesn't inspire a tremendous amount of confidence in the top end of the NFC. Sam Darnold was ass today. He was bad. They still won because Aaron Rodgers was worse.
Right.
I really like watching the Commanders. I think they're fun. Their defense is not good. And as great as Jaden Daniels is, like, he is still a rookie. And at some point, a defense will figure out, like, I don't know, maybe spy him. Maybe that, I don't know. I don't know how you stop him right now. No one stopped him, but, like, they lost four games at LSU last year. So clearly someone figured something out.
I know. And you know what's funny? Some of the bad teams in the NFL, like, I'm just realizing this. Let's take, like, the Patriots, the Raiders. Yeah. These are teams at the bottom of Patriots, Raiders, Giants, and Panthers. In those teams, you have four coaches who are sort of like, and you've got Dable, you've got Canales, you've got Antonio Pierce, and who am I forgetting? Jerron Mayo. You've got these like old school coaches of objectively bad teams who are like, I'm coaching for my life. They're not going to trade. Like, those are the teams that should be like trading away their talent, and they're not. Because you've got like these stubborn coaches where like Canales for the Panthers, by the way, he was trying to protect Andy Dalton. They were getting beat so bad that he's like, yeah, I put Bryce Young, our number one overall pick, out with our backup offensive line. Because I wanted to protect Andy Dalton. That is a quote from him today. Like, these teams are not rational that are just like selling, you know, their aging pieces. Maybe the Bengals.
Would it be sick to go get Duggar or Jabril Peppers from the Patriots? Absolutely. Why would a defensive minded head coach give up his two best defensive players for what, by the way?
Yeah.
The Niners are not in a position to now, with the way that their salary cap is structured and the way that things are coming, they're not in a position to just be giving up draft picks. They need those draft picks. Those are important players for next year and the year after's teams. Like, they have to have them because that's the only way to get cheap labor unless you want to get undrafted free agents to fill roles like number two on your depth chart, which is very easily number one in this day and age of injuries. So the idea of the Niners, this is the point where the checks come due. This is what, when you keep rolling it over and you keep spending and spending and spending, this is the point where the checks come due, because at some point you are going to be deficient in talent, even though you're paying all these guys all this money, because the wrong guy got injured in the wrong spot at the wrong time or multiple.
Yep.
And you're not in a position to trade your draft picks because you really need them because you have so many expensive guys. And so you either, I don't know, take out another hedge loan or and roll it down. But at some point, the bill's got to come due. And ultimately, the bill's got to come due for the 49ers in terms of, you have a lot of top-end talent. They need to start playing like it. Nick Bosa is playing out of his gourd. Anyone who looks at the stat sheet and says that Nick Bosa had a bad game doesn't know football. Sorry, watch the game. He's been awesome. But Leonard Floyd has not been good, and he's been okay as of late, but he has not been good. Yetur Gross-Matos on injured reserve. You're counting on Sam Ekwonu, Malik Collins, Kevin Givens, and Nick Bosa. Robert Beal, let me know when he does anything interesting in an NFL game. He's not good. He's not good.
Yeah.
The defensive line is in a tough spot, Jake.
I'm being a total sicko, and you know what I'm looking at?
What do you got?
I'm looking at the Cleveland Browns, and I'm looking at, like, Shelby Harris. You know?
Sure.
Affordable. He's age 30. But I'm saying this is where we're at. This is where we're at, where you've got a team.
You hear the desperation. You hear the level of depravity in your voice.
I'm looking down NFL rosters. I'm like, who is on the wrong side of 30, affordable, but playing okay football in the middle of a defensive line and on a team that is headed for hell? That's like the criteria. It's just, I'm not going to say like this thing is cooked. There's way too much talent.
We could say it on Thursday. We could, if they're 2-4 on Thursday, they're cooked. Because I don't care what happens in Kansas City. If they're still sub 500 after the Kansas City game.
And 0-3 in the division.
Yeah, come on now. Come on now. At that point, you just have to recalibrate everything and understand that you're playing for your life every week. In fact, I would say that we're there right now. Like every goddamn player on this team, they're operating week to week. Like, they're in full desperation mode.
I won't fully confidently say that until they, like, lose both Seahawks games, which I don't think they will do. But I'm with you. Like, if you go and you're 2-4, and then you got to beat Kansas City, and I still think they have one on the Cowboys, but we'll see. If you can't get to 4-4, or you have to, like, beat the Chiefs and the Cowboys just to get to 4-4, and you're 0-3 in the division.
If this team has to beat the Chiefs. I mean, what a sentence.
That's also one of those things where they always have like some pivotal game that gets them back on track. And they're like, oh, now we believe.
Usually the Rams. They don't play the Rams.
It usually is the Rams. It usually is. 15. But, you know, who knows in this weird time where the fall is the summer and you know, whatever. The training camp is in September.
This argument, like, Frederick Weaver, the Chiefs look like ass. They are undefeated.
The Chiefs always look like bad.
That's what they do.
Look bad and they win because they play with devil magic.
Would you rather be the 49ers who look great for three quarters and then lose games, or would you rather be the Chiefs who look like ass for three quarters and then win the game? Like, yeah, I don't care.
Right. The Chiefs are like the definition of like don't win nice or don't win right, just like win. And they just
winning ugly counts.
They're evil.
This is classic 2020, you know. This is classic Patriots. That's what they did for years. It didn't matter, but they won with situational football. Teams 4-0. They're probably going to 5-0 tomorrow night on Monday Night Football. Like
probably. I honestly think we'll see what happens Thursday. It is like a defining game. They need to win Thursday.
Can we just take a moment to step back though, Jake, and then we'll get out of here.
Okay.
And admit how funny that game was.
Today?
Yeah. That game was fucking hilarious.
Also, just in like 100 degree heat, the fans are like watching under shade. There's like,
yeah. I should have gone on the concourse, but that I'm sure that the concourse were.
It was just like they had a blocked punt touchdown, and then Bosa like channeled that Carolina Panthers interception.
Yep.
He shrugged. By the way, him running with the ball is like insane. He looks like he's skating, but it also looks like natural. Like he kind of
video game,
right? It does look like Madden the way he runs. It's like a canned
mocap
animation, big time. It was just it was so bizarre, and they could have done one more thing right, and they would have won, and they just didn't. And
but you knew like. We were texting about it during when Mason had like we knew that he was going to fumble the ball. Like it was just the most obvious thing ever. You're just like, how could they blow this? Well, he's going to fumble the ball and then they're going to do something. Kyler fourth down. Like, was there ever a doubt that the Niners were going to lose that game at a certain energy point? And by the way, like the funniest part of all of it is they lose their kicker. And after all of my complaining on how reliant they are, like how like field goal focused they are, they lose their kicker and Kyle just loses all of his mojo immediately. As soon as he no longer has the kicker, he just can't function as an offensive play caller because the idea of having to score touchdowns as opposed to getting 3 points just breaks his brain. Hilarious. Zane Gonzalez, come on down.
Yeah. It's like, just try to score. I know that's insane, and I know we're oversimplifying it, but like, try and score.
Yeah,
pretty simple. Like he made fun of Lions head coach Dan Campbell. Like he basically made fun of him. Remember when we were previewing that game, we were asking about him. He's like, there's a downside to that too. You know, if you don't get it.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, Campbell, it came back and bit him. Campbell didn't commit to his philosophy in the right way in that game. He like sort of was half in, half out.
And it burned them.
The 49ers have that tendency of being like conservative, being like, what's the right? It's like, just be aggressive.
Aggressive. I would like to go back to last year and give Christian McCaffrey the MVP trophy posthumously, like, because apparently it was all Christian McCaffrey the whole time. Like, Brock's played very well this season, don't get me wrong, he was bad today, but he's played very well this season. But it was apparently all Christian McCaffrey. Because as we have, you know, Frederick in here, like, what happened to all the cool stuff in the red zone? Christian McCaffrey isn't there. That's it. They don't have Christian McCaffrey, and the entire thing is falling apart. And then you kind of look back at what they looked like before Christian McCaffrey got here, and it was kind of like this. So I kind of regret saying some things like, why did they keep Christian McCaffrey on the field all the time last year? Because apparently that was the only thing holding them back from being completely mediocre. So that's where I'm at, man. Thursday's going to be fun as hell.
Yeah, we'll try and do a show, what, Wednesday? We'll see.
No, we'll do Tuesday morning. We'll do like a film breakdown.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to try and get through every single red zone snap they've had this season. And
yeah.
And what I will, the conclusion I will come to is that they don't have Christian McCaffrey, but I want to figure out what can they actually be doing better, because it's like other teams are scoring in the red zone with much worse talent.
So. True. Much cooler plays apparently.
Yeah.
And then Thursday night, you know, with the season on the line on October 10th, as the prophecy foretold. Fun times. Yeah.
Good luck in Seattle, a team that fears nothing because they have like no real expectations. So,
and Geno Smith sat here running, looking great.
That's awesome.
I will say one more thing. They went for it on a 4th and 23 from the Arizona 27-yard line. That's a thing that happened today. They didn't get it, but they did that.
They did.
And no matter what else. Yeah. No matter what else, just remember that's a thing that happened and you were alive to see it. Yeah. So silly. So stupid.
It's beautiful.
Much like this stream. Okay. Bye, everybody.
That's right. Appreciate you, folks.